World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I was sharing with the folks in the queue before we came on the show. My entire evening was destroyed last night when I was trying to get a hold of the airlines. But go through the airlines, I went through Capital One, my credit card. 3 hours I was on hold. Never spoke to a person in 3 hours. And I'd worked all day. Let me back up. God bless Bob Evans, Tammy Evans. You know, it's really rare when you come across people. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you come across people who do stuff out of the goodness of their heart and really don't expect anything in return for it. They really don't. And you know, Bob and Tammy heard about the problem. I said, I have to have a new air conditioner put in. Tammy called and said, hey, Bob and I are coming Monday. And I said, no, you don't have to come. I put them off from it. That called him back. Said, okay, yeah, you can. So Bob came yesterday and did about four different things up at Sky. Kept me working all day. And kept me watching him work all day. And all they got out of it was a couple meals. And all they wanted out of it was a couple meals. And, you know, it's rare when you run into people who just want to serve. And I just want to salute you. Yeah, I see Bob's in there. So I just want to salute you, Bob, that you guys came all the way down here and did that. And I mean,
amen.
There are a lot of you. It's not just Bob. You know, every time I start talking about people who serve, I forget people. But it was a great relief yesterday that a lot of things are in better shape than they were the day before I got caught here on my cord. So God bless Bob and Tammy Evans, and they don't want anything in return. And I could go on with guys. Every time I start talking, I think about people I've forgotten who've come and done things. But it was Bob did Herculean stuff yesterday. I just appreciate Bob and Tammy. So we were busy all day yesterday, and then I thought I had some stuff I had to do. I got online about, I don't know, we got through eating at about 7 o'clock. I thought I'm going to get on real quick and I'm going to make this adjustment in my flight. And it was 3 hours. It was after 10 o'clock and I still hadn't spoken to anybody. 3 hours. And you know how it is. You think, well, if I hang up now, I waste the 30 minutes I've been waiting. Then you go another 10 minutes. Say, if I hang up now, I might be next. And then you wait 15 more minutes. Oh, if I hang up now, 3 hours. My whole evening was gone. I couldn't do anything. So I was in a bad mood, but I got over that bad mood. So I'm still in a bad mood. Don't bring it up. We'll take care of it. Gary Pierce got something wants to say this morning. Come on in, Gary. Good to see you up on the queue this morning. In the queue, I guess it is.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Brigade. Hey, I just want to add to what Bobby said yesterday about the event this weekend what the Pennsylvania Brigade put together, that tactical prepared fighting and striking training weekend. It was awesome. It was well planned. It was expertly executed, highly instructional. This is the second tactical event I've been to, and this one had progressed greatly beyond the one that was held at Sky High, I think a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago. And I want to tell you, the people that are involved in that, you know, Chad leading his tactical training, and he had, and Bobby had PA Brett White working on the house entry, room clearing, instructional training. of course, Bobby Lee, his fighting and striking training. Lori Shockley, she contributed with her medical training and with the use of videos and her knowledge and background in nursing. And then Don White with the health and nutritional preparedness. All those were just excellent, excellently prepared and you know, given good instruction. Very interesting. I want to tell you, the amount of participation by everybody there. I mean, people didn't sit around and, you know, I don't want to go do this one. I'll just sit back. No, people were engaged all day in every session. It was amazing. I've helped put on some of these events, and I know the time and effort that goes into it.
Amen.
And there was a lot of dedicated volunteers that made that happen. You know, Chad brought Michelle. Michelle was always there in the background doing something. PA Brett and his wife Tammy was always there. She was running around just doing all sorts of things. They had meals prepared, for lunch and dinner. People didn't go hungry. We ate well and just really enjoyed all that sort of fellowship. The location was just outstanding. And we were isolated. We were up there in a place you wouldn't believe how isolated this was. Yet we were totally independent, had the meals and everything was there prepared. People didn't have to go anywhere. If you did, you probably wouldn't get back for 2 hours if you went anywhere to eat. So the setup and preparation that was done ahead of time was amazing. And I shouldn't forget, there's a fellow named Adam that presented the bug out bags, the go bags, and he tore out down one of his 3-day bags, and it was just amazing to see all the things that he had in there. So basically, coming away from this weekend, what I did is, like, it just opens your mind, and you say, okay, I've done some of these things, I've done some preparation, but it just, like, opens your mind, and you know what? I haven't done enough yet, and I need to do more. So hats off to Bobby D, Chad, Lori, Don Wright, and PA Brett, and the wives that support their husbands to pull off this type of thing. Excellent.
Well said.
Just one of the best events.
I'll second that, Gary. That was really tremendous.
So a tip of hat to Chad, who just drove. He just texted me. He just pulled in his driveway in Texas. So I want you to think about that. What is today, Tuesday? And I think Chad left home last Wednesday, I think. So I don't care who you are, man. That traveling, that wears you out. And I spoke to Chad, and he said that he thought it was the best one yet, that they learn every time they go out, they get better and better. The fellowship gets richer and richer. And I thank God for what's going on, man. I just do. And I appreciate you, the kind words that you said there, Gary, because, folks, this was the first real that's a lousy thing to say, Salt and Light Brigade event I missed. And it's because of some emergencies that happened here at Sky High. I couldn't get there. I'd planned to go. And it was the first one I'd missed. I know what they're like. And 35 people, maybe as many as 40 people were able to get there. And, these are great. We got more coming up. Got Mike Spalding's conference is coming up here in a couple weeks. And then we got the event up in Wisconsin coming. Folks, if you can get one of these. Or, by the way, listen, folks, this would have been my fourth trip. If I wasn't able to go, I believe it would have been my fourth trip to Pennsylvania, to Millersburg, Pennsylvania. I think four. I could be wrong. Had I made it, it would have been my fourth trip. And so if you're out there and you're thinking about, boy, I'd like to put one of these things on. Friends, let me tell you. It doesn't happen. You can't just say, hey, listen, I'm going to have an event and people are going to come. It doesn't work that way. Four times we've gone out there and planted seeds, started small, got bigger the next time, got bigger the next time. And if you're interested in doing something, we will help you do it, but we have to start small. And what does that mean? Well, you start with a Friday night, Saturday, all day Saturday event. And we'll help bring the people there. And you can flavor it with some of the stuff that you want to do. We need more of these. We don't need less of them. There ought to be, these events ought to be going on really a couple times a month across all across America. Chad's willing to travel. Bobby's willing to travel. We got people, Lori. I mean, we got people willing. We got stuff we haven't even begun to teach yet, right? That we all need. But that's where you guys become so important to us because, hey, listen, I can't organize an event in Wisconsin. I can't organize an event in Montana. I can't organize an event in Oklahoma. I can't do that. But we have, you just heard from Gary, we have the people who are willing to put these things together, but you're going to have to step out. Start small. Let me remind everybody here, the first ever Salt and Light Brigade meeting outside of Ohio was in Texas. I flew to Austin. I think it was Austin. Chad put on an event, and I flew down there to help Chad with that first event. And we put it on. Chad Estes was in the room. We had a church we rented. Chad Estes was in the room. His wife, Michelle, was in the room. Rusty Thomas was one of our speakers. He was in the room. Coach, who am I forgetting? One other guy. Coach Dave was in the room. And I said, Rusty Thomas. There were five of us. I flew down there. I put on an event. And five people were in the room. Five people. And then when the meeting was over, as we were getting out the door, Glenn and Corinne walked in, said, hey, we're coming from Dallas. We got caught in traffic. We missed it. We took them. We went over to a Whataburger or some kind of burger, and we had a burger, and we were done. So if you add it all up, there were seven out of us at the first Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Seven people. Start small. Despise not the days of small beginnings. We will come, and we will help you, okay? We will. But don't despise the days of small beginnings. Start with 10. Hey, you want me to start running down the list of events we've had, very, very small events, and how they grow? Because, folks, you are surrounded by people who are slowly waking up. Now, if you were to walk into your local church, do you think that anybody in your local church, or how many in your local church, has ever thought about defending themselves out in the parking lot of a supermarket or a mall? Has anybody ever thought about how, any women out there ever thought about how they would defend themselves if that happened? No, people, their mind isn't even gone there. It's not even gone there. Do people think anything at all, some of the things that Chad does? You wake up in the middle of the night and you hear a bang in your house, and you want to clear your house. Does anybody ever, you ever thought about that? What would you do? Is your first experience, if somebody breaks into your house, is that going to be your first experience with it? And so we could go on and on. Lori with first aid or whatever. Folks, there are people all around you who need this stuff. They don't even know they need it. They don't even know they need it. So that's all I would say to you. Just try. We're willing to help, man. We're willing to help. And we would love to.
Coach, yes. Can I say something?
Yes, Neil.
And God will guide you. I just have to witness to this. For our event, I built a three-room house simulator in our barn basement. It turned out very well. But plywood is $50 a piece now. And I used 23 pieces of plywood. Wow. But God provided. There was a factory near us that was getting rid of plywood. I was gifted 75 pieces of plywood.
So wow.
God will provide. God will provide. I just got a witness to that.
And, but Neil, also, see, this isn't your first one, right? This is a second event that you've had there. And also, not only is it the second event you've had, you're working off the work that Ray has done and Rob Pugh has done. And so this big event that we're having at your place isn't just on the efforts that you've done. Little small groups, other places have popped up, and they're coming together there with you in Wisconsin. So, folks, despise not the days of small beginnings. And I'm going to tell you this, you can do it. Not only you can do it, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. Who else is going to do it where you live? Who else? And I don't know. You know, I'm not a doomer gloomer. I don't know how long we got. But we've got to keep planning, right? We've got to work while the sun shines, because the day cometh when no man can work. And I don't want to be I get up every day, and I love my wife and my family and my I just love everything, you know. And to think that this normal that we're in the midst of isn't going to be normal much longer. I don't think it's going to be normal much longer. And it's going to be, as my friend John Barnett says, there's going to be a rude awakening before there's a great awakening. And I think we're on the verge of a rude awakening. And you guys are plugged in here every day, and we have great experts in here in so many different areas that we got to get out. I could go on and on. I'm not going to. I got so much to share with you. Come on in, Myra, real quickly, then Larry, then Carol. Go ahead.
Good morning, Saints. I am in agreement with Gary Pierce. The PA event was excellent. And also, Ray, I was in a meeting with him this past Sunday. They're doing a great job in Wisconsin with the event coming up. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Myra. Well, I wish everybody had the enthusiasm Myra had. Larry, come in.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to ask everyone, I have a prayer request, and I ask you to pray for God's will in this. For a couple of weeks now, I've been searching for a place to buy a few acres of land here in South Carolina. And every time I find a place that meets the criteria that I believe God wants me to be looking for, but when I get a hold of a realtor agent, it's always, it was put under contract within the last 48 hours. It was put under contract yesterday. The people are gobbling up land hand over fist now.
Yes.
And I'm going to my daughter's house later this morning and coming back tomorrow. On the way back tomorrow, there's a piece of land that I'm looking at. And I'm asking for you guys to pray for God's will on this piece of land. If this is the piece of land I'm supposed to have, I want to end up having it. But don't pray that I get it. Pray for God's will on it, if you would, please.
Lord, we just pray right now that you open a door for Larry and that he walks through it, Lord. We thank you for Larry's unwavering faith, Lord. He trusts in you, and we just pray that you reward that trust in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Oh, boy, I got 20 things I want to talk about here. Okay. Amen. What's that? I'm sorry. No? What are we going to do, friends? Here's kind of where my heart is this morning. And just so that you know, it's time out. Time out. Somebody tell me, I was listening to Jerry yesterday. What the heck is the difference between an amp and a volt? Like Jerry says, that's 2 amp and 5 volts, and that thing's only 18 volts, and I need 28 amps. I think, what is the difference in those two things? Anybody else out there as dumb as me? What is the difference between an amp and a volt?
Coach?
Yeah.
A volt is a measure of potential.
Okay.
Okay. In other words, if you got 120 volts across these two lines, these two terminals,
okay,
that is a measurement of potential. How fast it can go, if it goes at all. It may just be sitting there. Okay. Amps is the measurement of the flow. If something turns on, it draws 3 amps or 10 amps. Or 500 amps.
Okay, give me a simile. Take me away from amps and show me water and air. Show me something that tangible that can make sense to me.
Voltage.
Coach, voltage is like in a battery. Okay? And you got a line coming off one end and it's going to a switch.
All right.
Okay? And you got another line coming off and it's going to the light bulb. End of the light bulb, across the element.
And so each one of those is what? Each one of those is an amp, a volt?
No, each one of those is the flow. Circuit, coach. It's like a river.
I got that aspect of it. Is anybody else confused besides me?
Current is how fast it goes through it.
Okay.
Okay. Voltage is what allows it to push it from one end to the other.
So voltage is the power available.
Power available. Potential.
Voltage is the water in the river going down the river. Amps is the amount of water leaking out when it goes and does something.
Exactly, Larry. Okay. That is the force behind it. That's why it's the amperage that'll kill you.
So in other words,
going into a bubble in Brook won't kill you, Coach, but going over Niagara Falls will.
Gotcha. So the amp is the potential water, and the volt is the mount going over the dam.
No, opposite.
No, the opposite.
Opposite.
Okay.
Let me do something real quick. You know what a pump is, Coach?
Yeah, I do know those things, yeah.
All right, it makes pressure. It makes pressure, right?
Yep.
You got a pressure tank, a pump. All right, pressure is voltage, pressure.
Pressure that's is voltage. The force, the pressure. Okay, that's the voltage is the force pushing it.
All right, right. Now, current is the amount in the hose.
I get that.
Now gotcha. your hose is an inch, or your hose is 2 inch, which has more flow?
2 inch.
Yeah, so the bigger the wire, the more current, see? The more current. So a valve is a switch. So you hold the valve open, you get flow. Now you got pressure.
I got all that.
You got pressure is voltage, current is flow. Just like in a hose, and then your valve is your switch.
What's my amp?
Hey.
Your amp is a current. That's a current. Voltage, current. Current
that's
is
the
amp.
Amount of the flow.
That's amount of flow. That's right.
Amp is the amount of flow. I'm losing everybody on my show because they all get it and I don't get it. I'm telling you.
What's driving the question, Coach? Why do you want to know about amps and voltage?
Just because people say that to me and I don't even know what they're talking about. And I have to act like I know what they're talking about. And
I'm sorry to jump in here, but I sense there's a spiritual application coming.
Well, both of them will voltage, kill you. Voltage is like Tyson. When he punches you in the face, that's the amp.
Got it.
Okay.
So voltage is the potential energy, and the amp is the amount actually applied. Is that right?
That's Jerry.
That's simple.
Yes.
See, how come you guys couldn't say that?
I just did.
Voltage is the potential power, and amp is the amount released. Is that right?
That amp is what will kill you, Coach. Amperage is what kills you.
Amperage is what kills you. It only takes 0.1 amp to do it for one second.
And Coach, when you put a shovel down in the ground, it'll kill you as well.
I get it now. I'm going back now to the water flowing over my spouting. You people don't call them spoutings. You call them gutters or whatever, right?
Right.
So the water coming over and filling up, that is the volt. That is the volt amp. That's the potential amount of water, and that is called the voltage. And the water that actually goes through the spouting down into the ground would be the amp, or is it backwards?
No, that's correct. That would be the amp.
Yeah, kind of somewhat, but it's your gutter can, which would be. It's not the rain on your roof.
I get that. The rain on the roof.
Just understand this, Coach. Your vacuum cleaner probably runs at 12 amps. You get killed at 0.1 amperage, so you just got to be careful. Don't play with amperage.
Can I break
you? Are you trying to confuse me? What are you guys trying to confuse me?
I'm trying to save your life. Hey, Coach, leave me alone.
I ain't messing with none of it. I just want to know what the hell it is. That's
Coach?
All. Yeah.
Jerry here. Can I break in here?
Help me, Jerry.
I'll make it a little simple. Volts are like the size of your bucket, and amps is how much water is in your bucket. And when you pour it, if there's a lot of water in your bucket, it's coming out real fast and a lot of it. That's your amps. The size of the bucket is just your volts.
Size of the bucket. Got it. Size of the bucket is the amp.
Nope. The size of the bucket is your volts.
Voltage. And what comes out of the bucket is the amp. Got it. Okay. Got it.
Right.
I think I got it. I don't want to lose everybody in our audience.
Hey, Steve Deck, I don't really have it. I'll just act like I do. But I know at least it's bucket and water flowing. At least I got that figured out.
Save the electricity for someone who knows.
Yeah, that's right. I'll just stay away from it.
We don't need you to get fried.
Yeah, we don't need you fried.
No, I know. That wasn't it. Because Jerry the other day was talking about that thing he's putting together, and he's saying it's 18 volts and it's producing 37 amps. And I'm thinking, what does that even mean?
Coach, give me a breakdown real quick. Once again, going back to that flow.
No, I want to move on. No, I want to move on. My wife said, get off. My wife just walked down and said, get off of it already. So she's bored.
If you have a bubbling brook,
we're all bored.
If you have a bubbling brook, a small brook, you can only flow so much amperage through there. But if I have a big, big river, I can have the Niagara Falls. That's the amperage. So you have to have – that's why the question
– I get it. So the potential is the voltage. The actual flowing is the amp. Got it. Okay, I got it. Now, can we move on, please?
Go. Now, the wires
Nobody introduced him to watts.
I ain't touching no wires. I just, when Jerry starts talking about voltage and amperage, I want to know what the heck he's talking about. That's all.
Called watts. We won't go there.
Yeah, I don't want to get into watts and all. I don't even. Give me that 9-volt battery. Not a 9-volt. No, give me a 4-volt. That's my life. Okay.
You want to hear
you
something?
You get into watts, you might be getting caught in the middle of a riot.
So here's what I want to know. How much voltage of the Holy Spirit do you have? And are you using any of the amps? Or are you just trickling out, huh? Is that what's going on? That was the whole water coming off my roof thing. All that water, all that voltage.
We are the valve, coach. We are the valve to the Holy Spirit.
I finally got it. Voltage is the bucket. Amp is what's flowing. Is that it, Steve? Okay.
Voltage is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amperage is how much we apply it.
Amen. You're confusing me. Stop it. I got it. Stop it. I got it. Leave me alone. So go to Psalm halfway down to go to Psalm 78. It's really burdening me, folks. Not the amperage and the wattage. So the volts are the bucket. The amperage is what flows. Okay, got it. This popped up again today, and this is really burdening me, okay? Silver, I want you to begin reading for me here on Psalm 78. Okay. Let me back up a second. You know what's burdening me? I got a lot of stuff to show you. I think there's an awakening going on in, they call them millennials. They call them different things. I don't know what I would call them. I think there's an awakening in the 21 to 35-year-old crowd. I think there is. I think there's an awakening. I think they know something's wrong. And I don't know if we're doing a really good job of guiding them. And one of the reasons we're not doing a very good job of guiding them, see, there's plenty of voltage, but there ain't no amp. There ain't any power flowing through. And they go to church, and I hate to beat up on churches. Do you believe? How old are you, Ohio, Brett? Wait a minute, I got you. December 2nd, that's my daughter's birthday. December 2nd, 1969. So you're
51,
how old?
51, coach. 51.
You're 51. Are you kidding me?
I'm in the prime of my life. Let's
you
go.
Are. Okay, but I thought you were. How old are you, Spencer? How old are you? Okay, there you go. Can somebody tell me who is training Spencer? Can anybody tell me who's doing that? Spencer, who's training you? Your father? Good, that's the way it's supposed to be. Who else, Spencer? And Spencer, if you were honest, have you learned a few things from being in here? In this, huh? So who's training the Spencers of the world, folks? Who is training them, right? Praise the Lord, Spencer said his dad, because that was the correct answer. But if we would be honest, this is my problem. When Bob Evans showed up yesterday, I jokingly said, Bob, you're like my dad. Meaning, when I don't know how to do something, I call Bob, because he knows how to do it. That's the way most of us are supposed to be with our fathers, right? Hey, Dad, how do I do this? And Bob gently and kindly tries to walk me through it, and he can't walk me through it. He says, "Hey, son, I'll be down there. I'll come down there in a couple of days. I'll come down there. I'll help you with it." Right? You guys all with me? Who is walking beside our young people in that type of relationship? Because for the most part, the parents of these, I don't want to call them woke, because woke's not a good term. The parents of the Spencers, they ain't walking with their kids. They're not walking with them, folks. And it's a reflection on or in regards to Psalm 78, okay? I'm going to show you why we're in the mess we were in and how we're going to get out of it. But we're not going to get out of it if we assume that the Spencers of the world are simply going to get it through osmosis. They're not going to. Our children, I don't want to brag about our children, they're somewhat get it because they have to be around me every once in a while, right? And so they hear me over and over and over and over and hammering it. I'm telling you, they're homeschooling. Both of our daughters and their husbands are homeschooling their children. I'm going to tell you, they didn't come up with that idea on their own. That was planted in them. Think about this. If you homeschool, it's 10 years of your life. Putting 10 years of your life into your children really is what it comes down to. Just train them up in that very first part. But we have a lot of guys like Spencer or like Brett, who I thought was 21, who are walking this walk without somebody beside them. That's Psalm 78. Silver, will you read that for us, brother?
Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
Ooh, wait a minute. Hey, listen. I don't know about you. I like sayings of old. There's something about tradition and experience, right? Now, he calls them dark sayings. You could call them light sayings. But the point he's making is you better sit down. I'm going to say some old traditional things that you ain't heard in a while, boys. Who's doing that for the... Who's doing that for the Spencers of the world? Keep going, Joe.
Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us.
Who did, Joe? Who told them?
Our fathers.
I'm going to open my mouth in a parable and I'm going to utter some dark sayings. I'm going to tell you some things about the past, boys and girls. And which we have heard and known because our daddies told us. Now, hey, maybe not our daddies. Some grizzled veteran told us. Now stop a minute. Look across the culture. What are they doing? They tore down a statue of Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville, Virginia. Did you guys see that? Do you see that? Robert E. Lee. Because why? I'm going to show you exactly why. See, they take Robert E. Lee and they make, who's probably one of the greatest Americans who ever lived, and they take him and they make him a racist. Because why? Well, you just keep reading. You'll find out why. Go ahead, Joe. I'll shut up, Joe. Joe, stop. Start it all over again. Okay, yes. so we get the flow of it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done.
So there it is. Tag team handoff, dad to son, older man to younger man. There's the tag team handoff. Go ahead, Joe.
For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children.
Joseph, they commanded him. He didn't just suggest it. Hey, make sure you tell your kids this, huh? Hey, you get a chance. You might want to teach them some truth. Oh, you don't have time? Go send them to public schools? Okay, go ahead. Doesn't matter. Because if you send them to public schools, then all of your family traditions are going to die with it. And they're going to become dark. They're going to become dark, old, dark stories that they don't even know anything about. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Joe.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them, to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers.
Wow.
A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
Do you guys see that? The children of Ephraim, they had everything they needed. They had arms. They were carrying bows. They were prepared for the battle. And when the battle came, what'd they do? They deserted. They returned. They ran away. And what happened?
They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there, Joe. Because, hey, folks, you know why America's in the condition we're in? Because we as fathers have dropped the ball. We have not passed it to the next generation. We just haven't. We haven't. And so we can blame the culture. We can blame public schools. We can blame all the stuff we want to. The whole reality of it is I, as a, the greatest mistake I believe I made in my life is where I permitted our oldest son to go to college. It was the greatest mistake that I ever made as I look back on it. Because I didn't send him someplace that would provide what he needed. I sent him worldly reasons, whatever. I sent him to the elite schools, and I sent him because he could do this. And you know what happened? When he got to the elite schools, and I had tried to, I'm not picking on my son. Same story. You guys all have the same story. When I got to those elite schools, they tore down everything that I'd put into him. Everything I'd put into him. Why? Because he was surrounded by a bunch of kids whose parents hadn't put it in him.
Amen, coach.
And we all know this. Thank you, Tracy. We all know this. You guys all know this. That when you send your child off to college, they come back from to you 2 years later and you don't even know them. So what the heck happened? Well, what happened is dad's dropped the ball. Daddy's dropped the ball. I didn't train our children. It was my job. I didn't train our children at a young enough age. I didn't know what I know now. I didn't train them how the devil works. I didn't train them that the devil was real. I didn't train them that this battle between good and evil has been going on for centuries and eons. This battle has never, never ceased. And I didn't sit them down and teach them. Isn't that what it says, Joe, that they would teach it to their children? Teach what to the children? Teach those dark sayings. Hey, this is how the devil's going to come after you. And he's not just coming after you. He's coming after your family. He's coming after your children. Here's how he up. I didn't teach those things. And now I wake up and you wake up and I'm 68 years old and Spencer's 27. Pardon my French, who the hell's teaching Spencer? He says his dad. Yeah, but every place he goes, somebody's teaching him something else. And so what happens? Your kids begin to think, maybe dad's off the rocker. Because everywhere I go, nobody's saying this except my dad. My dad's a conspiracy theorist. My dad's a nut. You with me? Thumbs up me? Huh? You with me? And we see it happen. And folks, it's even right now as we're fighting this battle, it is still going on.
Substitute dad's word for dad. Dad's off the rocker. Dad's word is off the rocker.
That's right. All that God stuff, all that religion stuff. I believed that when I was a kid. But now that I've been to college, which by the way, mom and dad sent me there. They paid all that money for me to go there. So mom and dad wouldn't send me someplace that would teach me lies. They wouldn't do that, would they? No, there's no way that my mom and dad loved me too much. No, they wouldn't do that. So I wanted to make sure that Zach got to go to this great college and then he would get into law school and be, yeah, yeah. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Right? So what are we going to do?
Yeah. Many of us didn't understand the battle, that there was a battle, and thought that maybe we were giving our kids an opportunity. And sadly, we didn't see it. We were blinded.
That's right. That's right. And why were we blinded? Glenn, I hate to say this. I don't hate to say this. We were blinded because the guy standing in the pulpit didn't tell us either.
Amen.
He didn't tell us. Folks, he didn't tell us. Listen, it doesn't make him a bad man. He didn't know. He just played church like all the other pastors played church and made people healthy, wealthy, and wise. Happy, go lucky. Jesus is in control. Everything's going to be good. And in the meantime, everything that you've invested your life in is being eaten by termites. Right? Psalm 78. So as we sit here today on the 13th day of July in 2021, what are we going to do about that? Because every one of you that have a child in your home, at some point, you better realize this. You're going to do a tag team handoff to somebody. And I hope it ain't the devil. But the odds are pretty good that the tag team handoff you're given is to the devil. After all that time and investment and love that you put into that child, you are going to hand them off. Now, here's the good news. That group of people is awakening. They are awakening. How do we get them? Boy, you guys want to get in here. How do we awaken? This might have to be a two-dayer. Come on in, Emma.
There is also much rebellion, and that feeds the other side, and it helps them to justify what they believe about us who taught them better than that.
Old fashioned. That was when we listened to the song the other day, Am I the Only One? It was so profound that he said in the midst of that, I'm becoming my old man, right? Remember when your dad used to talk about, well, back when I was a kid? Well, hey, back when I was a kid, men didn't marry men. People didn't kill babies back when I was a kid. It's the same thing, right? You understand? Yeah, I know you do. Come on, they're firing up here. Come on in, Mary Ellen. Then Joe.
Well, I taught my kids well. But when they became adults, they let me know that they had Google and they didn't need me.
That's right. That's right. It's happening to all of us, Mary Ellen. Now, listen, I don't want you all to come in there and tell me what happened to your children, because we all have the same story. Why? Because, number one, we sent them to Caesar to train them, and then were shocked when they became little Romans, right?
I didn't send mine to Caesar. My kids went to a Christian school.
Oh, that don't mean anything. I taught her to Christian school. I'm not yelling at you, Mary Ellen. I'm not yelling
Coach,
at you.
Coach, I was involved. I was involved in their classrooms from the time they were preschool until they graduated from college. I was in their face and in their space and helping with them. And when they were done with me. They didn't want my help. They had Google and they didn't need me anymore.
Yep. Can I tell
and
you?
Shut up. It had nothing to do with what I failed to do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But it did. It did have to do with what we failed to do. And what we failed to do is we didn't realize they were teaching soft, soaked, phony Christianity to our children. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody give me a thumbs up, huh? Teaching them to draw pictures of reindeer and arcs and, right? Come on, somebody tell me the truth. And if they stood up for what they believed, they were told to behave, sit down, keep your thoughts to yourself. Who are you to judge? Come on, I'm all over it again.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
We're all complicit in this, friends. We are all complicit in this. It's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. You won't find one boy in a thousand who will stand up and speak what he believes. They've been intimidated into silence. We've allowed that to happen. We have taught them in the church not to make people feel bad. Don't bring politics in. You know, I won't go on. You know the mantra. You know. And hey, I sat there and let it go on. Can I tell you why I sat there and let it go on? Because I was trained by some dude that did the same thing to me. And somewhere along the line, we lost manliness. Come on in, Joe Allen, then Dale, then Randy.
Coach, let's look at the other side of it.
spectrum here. Take for 4th of July weekend just happened. Over 400 something people were shot or murdered. 37% of our prisons are full of fathers. So that's why we have the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter sitting out there.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's kind of boring. Can we move on to another person?
Who would that other person be? You?
I don't know anybody. This guy's just doing all the boring and.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dale.
Much to say, Coach. It's such a revelation. I did send you a link. I just saw this morning, and I have a lot of respect for Stephen Kendrick and his brothers, Alex. They're coming out with a movie that says, "Where are the fathers?
Yeah,
where are the fathers? Everybody has a story, and brother, this is a huge thing, brother. I'm telling you, it's not just about." And it's not about moms. There's nothing wrong with moms in life, but
no.
The father always points them out as the fatherless.
We've
the
been
fatherless,
trained, man.
The fatherless.
Oh, so my goodness.
The children are not done training it just because they even go to college to get out. Let me tell you, there's a reason why you can't run for president till you're 35 years old.
That's
because
right.
You're mentally not ready. Fathers speaking into their kids well past those years are very important.
We've taught an effeminized, sissified Jesus. Come on in, Randy.
But I want to preach a little hope right here, Coach.
Okay, good. Go.
I'm going to preach a little hope for everybody, for me and all of us, okay? One great revelation that you've brought to me is that you cannot teach what you don't know. Coach, I've used that every day, and I practice that every day because we fall short as people. We fall short as moms and dads, and we can do everything we know to do, Coach, and we're still going to fall short. But here's the hope. Here's the hope, Coach. We have authority in Christ to cover those children and grandchildren until they – and here's how I pray, Coach. I say, you, God, every day, God, you keep them in the game until they turn their heart completely to you. We keep them in the game, Coach. We keep them out of death and out of harm and out of the world. They go through stuff that they shouldn't because rebellion and all these little things. But we as believers, Coach, as parents, grandparents, we have the authority to pray them, cover, and keep them in the game until God gets them, until they turn their heart to God.
Yep.
So that's the hope I want to preach, Coach. God's big. He's a big God. If we'll not put him in a little box. He can take care of them and we've trained them all we know to do sometimes, but someone else will pick them up. God will bring someone into their life that will get them to the next step. We have to believe that, Coach.
We have to pick them up. Hey, dude, just hang up. If it's boring, just hang up, dude. We don't come and mess with your party. Just go do something else. Just do something else. All right, cool. So, Randy, here's the point I'm making, and I agree with you. I learned yesterday. I'm 68 years old. I learned yesterday from Bob Evans. When Bob Evans was done with the work he did, we were sitting at the table. Bob would verify this. We were sitting at the table, and I said, you know what, Bob? Everything you did, that's the way I would have done it if it was up by myself. I would have done it like that. And he said, yeah, but you didn't have the confidence to do it, did you? I said, no, I didn't have the confidence that would be the right way to do it. I didn't have that confidence. So understand this, that we raise up our children. Bible says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. And so what happens? We sort of train them up, and then they go out into a world where people don't agree with them, and they don't have the confidence to cut here and saw there and nail there. They don't have the confidence to do it. Why? Because we have sissified the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we've turned Jesus Christ into a womanly, softy, go-along-to-get-along guy. There is no, folks, listen to me. There is no challenge other than personal salvation, personal holiness. There is no challenge for a young man to get actively involved in the gospel of the kingdom of God. Prove me wrong. Somebody prove me wrong. What is the challenge? If you were to go out and recruit an army, could you do it with Christianity? I'm trying. They won't even let me in churches. Why? Well, we know why. We're training compliant, go along to get along, keep your mouth shut, men. Oh, I'm nailing it today. Go ahead, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. The reason you have disruption is because you are over the target. I was up at 2 a.m. this morning and woke Dennis up. We were discussing this exact topic. Mm-hmm. So I was cooking just now, and my son was listening to you, and he said something. So I said, go ahead. He wants to get in here.
Awesome.
It's about your son that went to college. I said that it's easier to break down than to build up.
It is so much easier to break down than to build up. Amen on that one, right? And what is the world constantly trying to do? They're trying to tear down, aren't they? They're trying to break down. Are we building up? Huh? Are we actively in our churches building up these young men to be, dare I say it, warriors for the cause of Christ? Nah. You start talking about that, they won't even let you in the church. Won't even let you in. Come on in, Betty. Then Jeff.
Well, I say good morning anyway. I know I did my best trying to raise my son, but I feel like a failure.
Yes, me too.
Even though I was married and there was a man in the house, he had no father. A father is so important in a home.
Amen.
No matter what, but I feel like I failed because of who I married.
Amen.
Well, He didn't have a father.
He didn't have a father. It becomes a generational curse, right? Can somebody tell me? I'm just curious now. Just curious. Tell me one good men's breakfast that you went to on Saturday morning that really, really changed your life and impacted you. Can somebody name one? Huh? Oh, I know how to treat your wife and how to be nice to your kids and how to be a faithful servant at the church and right. And who the Browns play on Saturday and amen. Cause I'm hovering today like a helicopter. I'm all over it. See,
amen.
It's us, right? It's us. Right. And so, you know, one of the things we were talking about, at the beginning about what went on in Pennsylvania, people were drawn to this, folks. They're drawn to this by the Holy Spirit of God. People know something is wrong. They know Jesus Christ is the only answer. And I hate to tell you this, they don't know how to share it. They know something's wrong. They know Jesus is the only answer, and they don't know how to share it. Go ahead. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I shared it last Tuesday in the church in the garage with the people. That previous week before last Tuesday, I had at least probably 10 teenage kids in and out of that car lot that week in groups of like 3 or 4. And one of the groups came back again a couple days later. But out of the, say, 10 or 11 kids, they're all 13 years old, boys and girls, only one out of all of them had a father in the picture. None of them. I asked them, and we went down that road with them, talking with them. And one of them said, oh, yeah, my dad's in prison. I said, doll, tell me, why is he in prison? He said, because he molested a little kid. I said, so your dad's a pervert? He said, yeah, pretty much. He's a pervert. They don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. We talked a little more, and these kids, and that's what I asked him. One group, I asked him, I said, listen, some of you, wouldn't you like to have a dad? You know what they looked at me, and they said, no. And as we talked more, then you could tell they did. You know what I mean? Because they didn't understand. They don't know what it's like.
Let me make another point here. How about if some of the Christians' dad became dads? How about if some of the Christian men began to exhibit the warrior like qualities of Christ? How many Amen. Dads are doing that? How many of you dads, when you go to the abortion clinic, take your children with you, or do you leave them home to shield them? They need shielded? Really? They need shielded? How are they ever going to grow up? How are they ever going to understand the ways of the world if you don't expose them to the forces of darkness? Because I'm telling you, they're going to see the forces of darkness without you around to guide them. The forces of darkness are everywhere. If you think you are shielding your children, boy, do you need a wake-up punch in the mouth. Because they're finding it, baby. You know what they're finding? They're finding weak, passive, who cares, Christian men everywhere they look. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Hey, They go to church and their pastor says, stay away from that Coach Dave. Oh, he's down. He'll get you in trouble. Damn right. You're damn right. Not only will I get you in trouble, we're going to cause a little bit of it. We're going to cause a little bit of trouble. Oh, man. Come on in, Kimberly. And then Miss Kimberly. Wow. Come on. Then South Alabama. I'll try to get you in there. Go ahead. Come on. Unmute yourself. Come on, South Alabama. You ready to roll?
Hi.
Oh, yeah, Coach.
Okay, wait a minute. She's in there. Go ahead, Kimberly.
I just wanted to say I really appreciate this pushing toward fatherhood. When my son went to college, I got some help. I had a great coach in my life. She was an older lady. And I said, he wants to go to a very liberal school with his buddy. And I said, we've had downright fights about it, and we did.
Did we lose her?
We lost her. I'm here.
Muted yourself. Okay. Okay. We did have done. Yeah. Yeah. I made that mistake. I should have said to my son, you're not going to that place. You're not going there. Come on in, South Alabama. That's what I should have said. Let him choose his college. The hell's wrong with you, mom and dad? Let him choose his college.
Yeah, what's wrong with us? It's just like going to the public school, you know? It's like, what's wrong with us? They don't teach anything Christian there. They hate Christ. Uh-huh. But my first point, everything goes back to the man. Everything's the man's problem, you know? And that's one thing we have to step up and take responsibility for. It's just like, what are we going to leave our children and our grandchildren? And then second point is we have to equip each other, and especially our children, like you're saying, to take them to the abortion clinics. I didn't even really truthfully know how to tell my wife I loved her. You know, I didn't have those tools and that experience, you know, and that's, we have to build that up.
We have to show them how to do it. We have to show them how to do it. Oh, my goodness. I'm about out of time. Quickly, Jerry.
Hey, Coach. I just wanted to add to that. As men, we have to go where the kids are at. When I was young, I was in youth lockup, and I'll never forget this famous Christian singer would come and spend his time teaching us songs and how to sing. That dedication, that showed me that, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to grab them by the heart and get them where they love it. And the other part, real quick, Coach, that guy that came on that said you were boring, you are. You're boring into the truth and kicking its butt.
Yeah, with amps and volts, buddy. Amps and volts. That's what's going on here. So here's the truth. Our granddaughter, my sweet little granddaughter, last 2 weeks ago, went to Christian camp for the first time. And her mommy asked me if I thought, is it raining? Holy smokes. My daughter asked me if she's old enough to go. She's 10 years old. And I said, yeah, she's old enough. But can I tell you what I really felt in my heart? I really felt in my heart. Sending her to Christian camp could be one of the worst things you ever do for your kid. Because there ain't Christian kids there. So, well, she needs to be around some other Christian children. Really? Are they Christian children? What kind of home have they come out of, right? Oh, I'm in trouble now. I always get in trouble when I tell you the truth, right? See, sending them to Christian school. Hey, been there, done that, baby. Let me tell you what it is. Christian schools are filled with kids whose parents might be Christian. But I'm going to tell you something. The kids sure as hell ain't.
Amen.
Oh, I'm on it today. Huh? And can I tell you? Oh, I won't say that. Yes, I will say that. Yes, I will. And some of the Christian teachers at those Christian schools, they wouldn't know Jesus Christ if he sat down in the front row. There I said it.
Amen.
I know. I'm just telling you. It's that voltage. Hey, Steve, that amperage is getting out of me today. And you know what? You're feeling it, aren't you?
Tenfold.
Yep. I'm telling you. Oh, man. We're going to have to do part two tomorrow because I didn't get to where we did a diagnosis this morning. Tomorrow, we're going to do a little bit of preventative medicine and a little bit of treatment. Huh? That's one of my favorite jokes, and we'll give it to you. Do I have time? Yeah. You got to be careful when you send your kids to college or to public school. You know why? Because they're going to get that new virus that's out there. It's a canarial disease. Yeah, it's a canarial disease. You get it from birds. There's no treatment. That's what we're getting, canarial diseases. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.